Folks, the 13th of January 2023, and we are gathering together here today in Jesus' name. So I'm going to go ahead and open up this evening. It's some news reports from different places. That's right. American military service members, including the National Guard and the Army Reserve, are no longer required to get the COVID jab to keep their jobs in the military. So it's about time that happens, huh? So they're no longer going to have that forced vaccination going on. And here we see 51% of the children born now in the United States of America, they're being born out of wedlock. That's right, they're bastard children, as is the definition when you're born out of wedlock. In 1950, only 4% were born out of wedlock. Now we're seeing 51%. Something's wrong here in a nation that won't get married. They want to marry wrong sexes. Something obviously wrong. So the House has been given an assignment to defund liberal national public radio. That's right, because taxpayer dollars have been paying for national public radio. And part of it is over a slanderous, disgusting essay NPR ran by the author of Gender Queer, which is a sexually explicit graphic novel that has been targeted by parents who object to such offensive material on school library shelves. Well, they ought to be defunded. I mean, they don't have the right to pollute everybody and force their ungodly beliefs on them, right, and have us all pay for that. So, yeah, hope they can do that. Hope they'll get that accomplished. Seems like they get so little accomplished in the positive. And so much of the evil has been accomplished in this nation lately. But we're going to see that turn around in Jesus' name. Diamond of Diamond and Silk passes away at 51 years old. Yeah, President Trump mourns that person. Also, Pastor Jack Hayford died on January 8th. He was 88 years old. He's been in the ministry and serving for a long time. Kentucky publishes a blacklist of woke companies, corporations. Kentucky State Treasurer Allison Ball published a list last week on the list. Are different ones that are on the list are BlackRock, BNP Paribas, and Citigroup, and Climate First, and Danske Bank, and HSBC, and JP Morgan Chase. These are some of those woke anti-energy corporations. They're against fossil fuels, against gasoline and oil and diesel. So Kentucky joined Oklahoma and Texas in compiling a list of anti-energy corporations in the country and outside of the country as well. Excuse me. Jackie Hill Perry, a Christian minister, formerly was a lesbian, but she got born again and got out of that. She warns that Christians not to use personality test. That it has definite demonic origins, that she found out that one of the originators of the Emnigram was Oscar Utrazo, and he claimed that he received his information through a demon named Metatron. And another originator of this Emnigram was Claudio Naranjo. And he got his wisdom through what he called automatic writing, which is a form of spirit channeling. Spirits will cause a person's hand to write or write through them and dictate everything that is being said. And here we have a lot of Christians and even pastors who are promoting and using this enneagram. And so I'd just say I wouldn't recommend it. If it's coming from a demonic source, why would we want to partake of that as believers? I don't think we can recommend that. So survey finds that most teenagers say they viewed pornography by age 13. That's not good news, is it? That means they opened doors to demons by age 13 by willfully looking at pornography. And they all need deliverance now. Alleged atheist in Florida shoots a pastor for trying to witness to him after a funeral. That's right, a pastor's attempt to witness to his atheist cousin turned deadly during a dispute over heaven and hell. And the pastor shot the guy in the neck. I mean, not the pastor, but the cousin shot the pastor in the neck. And, of course, he was arrested and charged for doing that. So hopefully this pastor will recover fully and live and not die. And lastly, gay so-called Christian music artist has risen to number one on iTunes above Lauren Daigle, who was number one. That's right. Grace Semler Baldridge, who goes by the stage name Semler, has topped Daigle, who is also, by the way, a compromiser and pro-homosexual. Lauren Daigle, I don't recommend her at all. But anyway, that's my opinion. And this woman now, who is an open homosexual, gay woman, lesbian, is number one. And that's the so-called Christian music artist. And people are promoting her as a Christian musician. Something's wrong there, okay? Yeah, something definitely wrong. Anyway, so that's the news today. Oh, one more, might as well share. Presley died. What's her first name? I forgot. But anyway, Elvis's daughter, she died a tragic death at 54 years old this week. And, of course, they're saying that Elvis is still alive and he's a pastor today. I don't know if that's true or not, but he supposedly looks just like him and is a pastor in Arkansas and sings just like Elvis did. And that he didn't want to go on in that lifestyle anymore, so he just staged his death and got out of that music industry and became a pastor and is pastoring in Arkansas. I looked at his pictures. It looked a lot like a guy, but who knows? I don't know if it's just a real thing or not a real thing, but I never was an Elvis fan anyway, but I never cared for his music like some people. They rave over it. But supposedly he was called of God and went the other way. Anyway, that's the news for tonight. Let's go ahead and open up the broadcast tonight in prayer. Hope you're doing all right. We're going to have some good deliverance here tonight and some good message about a powerful relationship that God wants you to have. It'll be a blessing. So praise God. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I want to praise you and worship you tonight and give you the glory and thank you, Lord, for this time we have together again on another Friday night. And as we have many Friday nights prior to this one, and I want to pray for several who are struggling in their body tonight. Very serious with both of them. And I pray for the health and healing right now in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke the spirits that have been sent to destroy them and kill them and take their life out early. And I thank you for healing them in Jesus' name. And you know who I'm talking about, Lord. You know both of these people. And praying for their physical health and recovery. One's a man, one's a woman. Lord, we thank you for your miracle-working power, Lord. Thank you for healing them. Thank you for recovery for them. We thank you for complete recovery. I pray also for a young woman that you minister to her, and she can recover as well out of the problems that are plaguing her and is causing her to be depressed. And bothered and troubled in life. So minister to her as well in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you for working, Lord, mightily in our lives, each one of us, Lord, as we need you daily. We need you moment by moment. We cannot live without you, Father. And so, Lord, we just call upon your name to minister to each one of us tonight, Lord. Each one of us, encourage us and deliver and strengthen us and minister by the power of your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, that you be glorified here tonight. That you be glorified in each of our lives and you be lifted up and magnified, and we would remember to always give you all the praise and all the glory all the time, Lord. Thank you for victory over all the power of the enemy. Victory over the spirits of darkness. Victory over demons. Victory over sin and darkness. We praise you for that victory today. And we praise you for spiritual awakenings, spiritual changes, Father. We know you want to change us. We just need to allow that change to take place and be willing and obedient to change, Father. I pray for the grace for that to take place in our lives tonight, Lord. We praise you for providing abundantly for each one of us, every listener to the program, to the broadcast here, that you would truly provide abundantly for them. They'd have more than enough, Father. All of us, myself included, thank you for providing all our needs. And then, Lord, even in this time of very expensive products and very expensive groceries and gasoline, which again has been creeping up again, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would provide all these needs, Lord, that we would have a lack of nothing and an abundant supply. We praise you and worship you for this. And give you thanks tonight. And Lord, we also pray, Lord, for the broadcast, the service, the live service here tonight. We ask your blessing on it. Ask you to speak, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit through me and to people's hearts, Father, by your Spirit. Thank you for the amazing grace that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, working in our lives. Even when it doesn't seem like you're working, Lord, we can know that you are. Because you're doing great and mighty things in our lives. We praise you for that today. Worship you and commit this time that we have together tonight into your hands, O Lord, into your hands. And we thank you for, Lord, releasing the power of the Holy Spirit right now on all of us, Lord, to teach us and speak to us today. In the name of Jesus, we worship you and honor you. Everybody say thank you, Jesus. Say amen. Hallelujah. Building a powerful relationship. That's the title tonight if we get into this. So I'm happy you're here. I'm happy you're listening. And pray you'll be blessed. How many of you truly want change in your life today? I mean, truly want some change. You know, in some areas you have gone on the same year after year after year with no real changes. And you know, if you just stay the same, you'll just stay the same, right? A desire for change is not enough. A lot of people desire change. You may have a desire for a lot of things. But does that a desire bring it to pass? Does a desire bring it forth? That which you desire? No, not necessarily. I mean, you could say, I desire a better job all your life and never get that better job. You could say, I desire more of Jesus and never get more of Jesus. Just staying the same. I mean, you could say, I desire friends and never get any friends. Between what your desires, between what you desire and getting what you desire, there's a big gulf and even an ocean between the two. And there are often many demons that are between a desire and the fulfillment of that desire. We need to understand that. See, I've heard a lot of desires over the years, but I've not seen a lot of manifestations of those desires taking place in people's lives. There are two scriptures that come to mind when I'm thinking about this. concerning desires. Faith without works is dead is one of them. And but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self is the other one. And see the way to cross that ocean to the reality of a desire is faith must have action. It's like the scripture says, faith without works is dead. So there's got to be action with your faith if anything's ever going to change and become that desire, become a reality in your life. You can't just be a hearer only. You've got to be a doer. Faith without action is dead. You know, hearing alone is not enough. You've got to act on what you hear. You can't just sit on that desire, sit there on that desire, for that's like hearing without doing. That's right. There may be a lot of demons in the way of that desire ever becoming your personal reality, but you know what? That the faith action would be to start removing those devils that have been hindering your desire from coming forth. And keep removing them until you cross that big gulf, that big ocean, and get to the reality of that desire becoming a reality in your life. You know, mostly New Year's resolutions are desires that never become a reality. Did you know that? You know, one must act and even step out into the unknown for anything to really change in their lives. You got to step out there. You got to launch out there. Step out there in faith into the unknown realm of God. Hey, it's definitely a good realm. It's definitely a place that you can be secure because he's got you in his hands. He's going to take care of you. Say Julie or Tony over here, and they're your best friend. Now you have a relationship. How? Because you two had spent the time together to develop a relationship and become friends. Did it just happen? No, it didn't just happen. It took time to develop, action to develop. And once it was developed and is developed, does it just continue with no maintenance or no care? Of course not. Time has to be spent together nurturing and building that relationship. Well, the same is true in our relationship with Jesus and with the Father. Once it's established, it's going to have to be maintained. Some people get saved, born again, and they stop it. All growth stops at that point. They don't build on their relationship with the Lord. They don't do any more further maturing. So how does one maintain that relationship, once it's created, how does one maintain a relationship with the Lord? Well, number one, you need to establish a meeting place. You got to have a meeting place. Say you wanted to get together with a good friend. You would go and set a place and a time. And maybe many times one would go back every week and meet with his friend in that same place. Just like Daniel. Go over to the book of Daniel. I have our first scripture here. Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to go to verse 10 if you're looking these up with me. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did many times or before or aforetime. So he had a place. Daniel met with God three times a day in his meeting place with God. So in order to maintain a relationship with God, you're going to have to maintain a meeting place with God. You know, I have one very special meeting place, although there have been others and there are others. You know, my prayer place at home where I pray is a meeting place between me and my best friend and my God Almighty as well, which I have great honor and respect and reverence for him. But my prayer place, and also throughout the years at the different churches that we were pastoring, you know, we had a place there where we would pray, where I would pray and spend time with the Lord. And yeah, you can meet with God anywhere, but you know what? You should also have a habitual place of prayer. And you know what? Not only that, you should, number two, establish a time of prayer. You need to have a set time, because if you don't make a time and make that time, then you'll never have time. So it'll never happen. You might have good desires and intentions. But how many know just because you have a desire doesn't mean it's going to be brought to pass, as we've already said? Psalm 55:16. It says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening, morning, and at noon. He had a time of prayer. A time of prayer. If you said to your friend, let's meet to talk, you'd not stop there. You'd set a time and a place. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to come together. So you need to set a time, okay, and a place to maintain a relationship with the Lord. And my time is always first thing in the morning. And I'm not saying that you have to do it that way. But you know what? I found out if you don't put him first in your day, you might not put him in at all. So yes, first thing in the morning. And even though we talk all day long, the first thing in the morning is my prime time with Jesus, that I have set a meeting place with him and a time with him. Okay, Mark, let's go to 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. See, Jesus, he also got up and spent time with the Father in the early morning. It's like I get up and spend time with the Lord in the early morning. Okay, and sometimes it might be a little later if I'm up late or if I'm extremely tired. But normally it's close to the same time every morning. And we all know that the better we want to know our friend, the more time we're going to have to spend with them. And if my friend has written me a letter expressing his love for me, and expressing his desires for my life and our relationship, I would cherish and read that letter over and over. And so number three would be to maintain that relationship. You're going to have to read God's letter, his love letter to you, over and over and over. You're going to have to cherish that. Your best friend has written you a long love letter telling you all about himself, his ways, and the lavish gifts that he's given you, because of the friendship between you and him. And how many know what that letter is? Of course, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to guess that, does it? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is his letter to you. And it's a friend letter to one who is loved and the one that we love. Psalms 119. Let's go over there at 103. Psalms 119, 103. Says here, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do you think that way about the word? If you don't, you're definitely lacking. You're definitely lacking in your relationship because it's not deep enough. You got to go deeper till you love and think the word of God is sweet to you, is precious to you. It's got to become something you really cherish in life. See, God will talk to you through his word. Can't count the times he's talked to me through his word. He's going to reveal himself to you more and more and more. You read his word and meditate on it day and night. He's going to make himself known to you in a powerful way. And that relationship will grow more and more powerful the more that you jump into that letter written especially to you and to every believer in particular. 1 Corinthians 1:7, it says, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming, that Greek word is apokalypsis. Apokalypsis. And it means the unveiling, the manifestation. It denotes that which has had the covering removed so all can see what is revealed. God wants us to get revelation and come behind in no gift as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the opening up, the all that can be seen of him. See, by the revelation of his word, we see Jesus. And because we see Jesus, we grow closer and closer to him. The more we see him, we grow closer and closer to him in a relationship that grows and matures. And the next thing is we continue to develop the relationship. That's right. One doesn't create a good friend and then just suddenly quit seeing them and dump them. No, 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 no. The relationship is nurtured and growth comes and takes place as the two grow more and more close to each other. That's right. As time goes by, there should be growth of the relationship and maturing of the relationship. And truly, friendship develops and matures. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy 3:14. It says here, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who did you learn them from? That word continue is amino, in the Greek, and it means to abide in, to stand by. It's used of abiding in a house. You can't continue in these things unless you know the one you learned them from. See, this is the importance of knowing God right now. You need to see yourself living in his house and him living in your house. This is not a casual relationship. This is not somebody that you meet at work and say hi to once in a while. No, remember, devils have set things up since your family line began to trouble, to steal, to rob, to destroy, to kill, and separate and devour and confuse and confound and blind. Remember the scripture, people. Remember that people are taken captive by the devil at his will. In 2 Timothy, we're already here. We might as well read it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. I mean, no, a lot of people oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. That's right. Whose will? Not your will, the devil's will. So many are taken captive so easily at his will, the will of the devil. How many people are living captive at the enemy's will today? I'm telling you, too many. And they're often kept there in captivity for so long a time, maybe even all their lives. And even though there may be a desire in these people to live differently or be different, this is a common reality of living in this world, and it's a commonality to see people like this, people in captivity to devils. How can this be, you say? How can this be? Why would people live in captivity to devils? Why would they do such a thing as that? Why would they not want to be free from that? Why would they not hate it? Why would they not have a desire to get out of the trap of captivity? 2 Peter 2, verse 19. It says, while they promise them liberty, think about that, promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in by bondage, a man or a woman. So people have been overcome and brought into bondage by the troubling of demons. They're troubled in their body and in their mind, and whatever has overcome them, they are in bondage to it. To the beings that are involved there in activity against them. And so are any Christians in bondage today? What do you think? Well, does a duck swim? Of course. So we see something is active to keep you from a glorious and powerful relationship with Father God today. To keep you from abiding in his house as if it is truly your home, which it is. It's truly your home and your castle. Your place of security and rest. But how many believers truly live in that kind of security and rest today, and even totally are able to live at home in the Lord's house? How many believers do you think there are like that? Living totally at home in the Lord's house, and Him living totally at home in your house? Huh? Or are there many things in the way of this kind of reality actually taking place? Like fear, maybe, guilt, anxieties and unforgiveness, bitterness, greed, on and on the list would go. See, there are many hindrances that have kept the people of God separated, even though we have the scripture that said nothing could separate us. Yet we live as if we are separated because we listen to the lies of the devil, we listen to the lies of demons, and we get overtaken by lies rather than being overfilled with the truth and embracing the truth. We get overtaken by the lies. What's wrong with that picture, my friends, brothers and sisters? There's something wrong here. We believe the scripture, but it is not our reality, and it ought to be our reality because we have His letter of love, His letter to us that tells us the way it really is. And yet we read it, but we really believe it because we don't act upon it. It may go in one ear, out the other. We're hearers, but we're not doers. We're not acting. So there are hindrances to be overcome in people's lives today. So many hindrances to be overcome. So you can't continue for long or be assured of something unless you know the source from which you received. And one of the reasons many backslide today is because they don't have a true relationship with Jesus. They have a knowledge of Christ in their heads. He is so and so. But there is no friendship in the Spirit. No knowing the ways of God. How many know that anybody can know the acts of, anyone can know the acts of a person? They can look and see the acts of, say you could look and see the acts of President Trump, the true president of this country, by the way. But anyway, you could see the acts of him by reading about him, but it takes a close friend to know the ways of another man or another woman. And so it is today with some Christians. They know God's act, but, you know, they've read about a little bit about it, and they've heard from the pulpit, or they've heard some teaching, but they've never taken the time to know God and His real ways, the way God really is, His ways. And we need to take time, folks. I tell you, we got all this time for doing all these other things, but are we taking the time for the things that really matter in life? Are we too busy, caught up in all these other things? And I'll tell you, there's always something to keep you busy. I know that. I've had a busy week and been busy this week, so busy. And yet, I'm taking time for Jesus. I'm not going to let that relationship suffer. I'm sorry. You know, some people just get so busy, they let their relationship with Jesus, they let it suffer. They let it go dormant. They let it go dry. No, I don't care how busy I am. I'm going to put that first. I'm going to put that first before I minister to anybody. I'm going to put that first before deliverance. I'm going to put that first before I do any of my duties, of daily duties and all the things that I get done daily. I'm sorry. Nothing's more important than my walk with Jesus and my relationship with Him, my friend. Jesus said, I've called you friends. He did that. He called you His friend. He called me His friend. So why do we not value that kind of a relationship that the Creator of the universe would call you His friend? Why do we not value that? Why do we not make that our primary focus and relation? And relate to that. It's so important. There's nothing like it. None of us have anything like that. Okay? Without that, we have nothing like it. There's nothing that compares. And so people backslide because there's no true relationship. And so I want to share this story in the Bible to help to reveal to you God's ways and the great love that He has for you. This is such a story here in the book of Hosea. Let's start with verse 2 of Hosea 1. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They're saying the time has not come. They were big time backslidden. How many know that the Lord's house and us being in it is so important? And we shouldn't be saying the time has not come for the Lord's house to be built. We want the Lord's house built in us and us built into the Lord's house. So what's going on there? They were backslidden. They were committing whoredoms. That's right. Committing whoredoms. That's what it says about them. Whoredom speaks not only of literally backsliding from God, but sexual orgies in the temples of demon gods. That's a seriously bad condition, having sexual orgies in the temples of devils. Huh? That's pretty serious, folks. Mm-hmm. And so we read on here to verse 3. And then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying. So we see that. The word of the Lord is coming from the prophet Haggai. He's speaking to a backslidden world, a backslidden Israel, that is. And their condition is dark. Their condition is certainly very dark. And so what's to be done? What's to be done about their horrible condition? So we're going to see this here. Who is among you? Chapter 2, verse 3. It says, who is among you that saw this house in their first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? They're thinking of the first temple. And then thinking about building the second temple here. Okay? And so here we see that Gomer is the person that God told him to marry. And Gomer was what? She was a prostitute. Okay? And yet God told her to marry this prostitute called Gomer. And why would that happen? Why would he do that? Because what does Gomer mean? Gomer means completion, stands for the completion of backsliding. That's right. The epitome of falling away from God is what they did, see? That's what Israel did. That's what a lot of Christians have done today. There's an epitome of backsliding. There's an epitome of coldness. They're not what it should be with Jesus. They're not there. I'm sorry, I'm reading from the wrong book here. No wonder I wasn't getting it right. I was just not even thinking about what I was reading. So I've got to get here back in the right book and read you the right things. So you know what I'm talking about more accurately. Okay, here we go. I'll just read it correctly. Hosea 1:2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. See, Hosea was speaking, not Habakkuk. Was I saying Habakkuk or Haggai? That's what I was doing. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto your wife of whoredoms and the children of whoredoms. For the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And that's the condition that we see many today. They've committed great whoredoms today. And so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bore him a son. Okay. So after he married Gomer, they had children. They had children, and you know what? She tired of Hosea. She got tired of a marriage relationship. She got tired of that relationship, and what did she do? She returned to her former lovers and played the harlot again, just as so many have today, to get bored with God, bored with going to church, bored with, you know, their Christian living, because they really don't know God and the ways of God. I mean, they don't know the way he really is. So what do? They go back to Egypt. They go back to the world. They go back to the ways of the world. Look at verse 5 here in chapter 2. It says, "For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax and mine oil and my drink." She's being deceived. Okay? She's being deceived. She thought, you know, that going back to her lovers would satisfy her because she thought she had more with them. Yet her husband was providing, Hosea was providing for her more than enough. How many have been enticed to want to go back to Egypt, to go back to the world? The pull of deception is strong, folks. And some turn back at times of stress or disappointment or pain. Some of them turn back easier than others. Some go back and have a night or two or day of drinking and listening to worldly music when they have a rough time. Some go back to the bar. Some go and seek satisfaction in a sexual sin or lying or stealing. Or at a moment of weakness, they go back to self-medicating on drugs and alcohol. How many know what I'm talking about here? Yeah. And I may never know exactly what you're doing in private, but you know what? I know one who does, and he could sure tell me, and he has told me things about people before that I never even told the people, but I knew the things about them, and I knew what they were doing, and I could obviously even see it since the Lord told me. It was obvious this is why they were the way they were. And he knows all and he sees all, and yet he still loves you in spite of it. So I'm not throwing stones at you, nor is the Lord throwing stones at you. Remember, he said to those who would throw stones, he that without sin throw the first one. So you know there's none of us without sin. Okay, even though we're clean of all sin before the Lord, we still sin because the Bible says if you say you have no sin, truth is not in you. So we know that we still sin. Okay? I remember a number of years back when I felt like, God, how could you ever use me? And how could I ever continue to be a pastor with all these faults and besetting sins and attacks of the enemy going on? He said, you know what? He told me. He said, I don't have anybody who hasn't sinned to use. That's right. He said, I don't have anybody who hasn't sinned to use. In fact, everybody is in the same condition that you are. It may not be the same way exactly, but you know what? Everybody is in the same condition as you are. So who am I going to use if I don't use you, if I don't use others who have stuff still going on in their lives? But, you know, they love me, and they want to follow me and obey me. The Lord, you know, and so I'll never forget that, and he's told me that more than one time throughout life. Yeah, and you may have wondered how he could ever use you, but you know what? He doesn't have anybody in any other condition to use. The only one who didn't sin was Jesus. Okay? He says, I use people who still make mistakes and still have stuff wrong with them and still have demons, because there is no one without sin and demons in this world, right? So, of course, he's going to use us, because there's no one without sin. And that's true. But also in him our sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus. And you know what? He's not looking at your sin right now. He's not going to keep reminding you of what you did such and such a day and such and such a time, how you sinned, how you messed up, how you're such a big mess and your life is just all screwed up with devils and demons and faults and failures and wrong thinking and fears and troubles and this, that, the other. But I'll tell you who will do that to you. Your demons do that. They'll sit on your shoulder all day or inside of you all day and remind you of all that's wrong with you. all this messed up in your life and how God could never use somebody like you, and there's really no hope for you for someone like you, right? Demons do that. And some have done it to them, you know, by the demons within, and some have done it to them by the demons without. And they've done it to them so much that they've had a hard time believing that they could ever even have a good relationship with the Father. How could Father love me? Again, a working tactic of the devil to separate, to hinder the relationship. And that's what the devil is out to do. He's trying to hinder, to separate your relationship from Jesus. Because after all this is wrong with you today. All this stuff is going on in your life. Look at you. And they'll have you looking at you quite a bit. See? But we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. You need to quit being ignorant of Satan's devices. Quit being ignorant of the way that he attacks you and controls you and manipulates you. Stop staying in ignorance. Come out of the darkness into his marvelous light where you can see the truth. Oh, yeah. But you know what? These tactics have worked for thousands of years because so why would he not keep using them, right? If something works, you keep using it. Don't fall prey to demons and be brought under this bondage that they want to keep you in and bring you under. If you're not already there, they want to bring you into it. Resist the devil and he will flee, but you're going to have to do some resistance. You can't just sit there. There has to be action. You can't just desire to not have a devil troubling you anymore. You've got to have more than a desire. You've got to have an action there. And I want you to notice something here also in Hosea. You know, if you've backslidden, and if you have backslidden friends, or you have a backslidden acquaintances or loved ones in the family, here's a way to pray for them. Here's a key that works for the backslider. The hedge of thorns, Hosea 2, 6, and 7. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her path. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. See, if you pray a hedge of thorns around the backslider, they're out there going back to Egypt. They're out there trying to find what they thought they could find out there. And they weren't getting it, they thought, as a Christian. There will be a wall around them, and they will not be satisfied until they return unto the Lord. You see that in these two verses. Hallelujah. You can use this tactics on the enemy and on a backslider, right? It'll become to them like chasing the wind. I mean, no, you don't catch it. They will seek out pleasure but never be satisfied. And then there'll be a longing to return to Jesus that'll come over them. And they'll realize that it's better with Jesus than it ever was in the condition that they have been pursuing again, going back into that Egypt, back to sin, back to a condition that is not conducive for a relationship with the Lord. See, that's an awesome tactic, and I've used it before. But God now told Hosea to go find his former wife who had left him for her former lovers and love her. Again, Hosea 3:1. He said, then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So what did he do? He besought her. You know, this shows the ways of God, folks. This shows the ways of God. God is such a good God, my friend. And though we may have gone far from God, maybe you have wandered far away at times in your life. Hosea is the type of Christ. And Hosea, which is the type of Christ, came and found Gomer. down and out and at the bottom of the barrel on the slave blocks, about to be sold as a slave, longing to go back to her husband, but feeling unworthy and unacceptable because of her life of sin and because of all that she had done wrong and went back to. Imagine with me, if you will, what a loving man and an obedient man Hosea must have been to take back a wife to himself after she was all worn out, being a whore, a prostitute, and a slave. He is such a type of Christ. We were all worn out by the devil and sin and darkness and in a mess, and he came after us. And he married us. We are his chosen and his beloved. Look at Hosea 3:2. It says here, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. He bought her. He bought her, though, because he was obedient to God and he loved her. With 15 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, just as we were on the slave blocks of sin, he brought us without hope. And maybe you're on some other slave blocks right now. The enemy's been working you over real good. And you feel without hope and you feel like you're going nowhere and you feel like you're stuck in a rut, stuck in a place, a condition that is not good for you. And yet you don't seem to know how to crawl out of it, get out of it. Yet Jesus comes for you to bring you out of that condition. Yeah. What bondage we were in, but Jesus came and redeemed us and brought us off the slave box of the devil. Oh, yeah. He sure did. Hallelujah. And what does he say here? He said in Hosea 2:19, he said, and in that day I will make a covenant for them. Oh, look, 2:19, I'm sorry. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. Reading on, verse 20, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, and I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall bear Jezreel. Shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy on her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. This is the ways of God, folks. You need to know God's ways, and your relationship will be forever maintained. You got to get an understanding of the ways of God. See, to know these ways, you're going to have to get to know him. And that's so important today, because a lot of people know about him. They know a lot of things about him, but they don't know him. And they're in the church and they call themselves Christian, but I'm telling you, a lot of Christians couldn't be doing the things that they're doing if they really knew him, if they had really come out into the deep with him, if they had really been in his presence. Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Have you left your first love? See, now is the time to return. Some of you have slipped or are slipping right now. And the word of the Lord is to return to Christ. Get a red hot built up relationship in him again, or maybe even for the first time, because maybe you didn't have that kind of relationship with him before, but you had more than what you're in now. And it's time to get serious about God. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You know what? A desire is not enough, folks. As we talked about earlier, a desire is not enough. It's time to act. You know, a lot of people have that desire. Do you have a desire? Oh, I want to be closer to God, you know, but there's never anything done about it. There's never been any action. Faith without works is dead, like I said. You know, there's no action. There's no building of the relationship. There's no closeness of the relationship. There's nothing changing. because you're just continuing in that which you've always continued in. And how do you expect that it's going to get any different? See, it's time to act. The enemy put your soul in trouble. But by God's power, you could be brought out of it because you're called with his righteousness and you're going to be brought out. You know, if you allow this process to take place, see, you need to know him in whom you have believed. See, this is about knowing someone intimately. It's knowing somebody closely. And the battle may be very hot and very tough at times, and it seems like something sometimes, no matter, you know, what condition you're in, you're just like pulled into things that you don't want to be pulled into, or in states of mind or in strife that you may hate, but somehow you just kind of get into it. It's like something just causes you to, and you say, how in the world does that keep repeating itself in my life? How do I keep on getting into that condition? How do I keep on getting into that place of strife with your mate or strife with your children or whatever it may be, that these things keep repeating themselves and it keeps happening, and yet it's like you hadn't really done anything to cause it to happen. It just happened. You keep standing against the enemy. No matter what comes, that's what your duty is. That's what your calling is, to keep standing against the enemy no matter what comes at you. And you're going to come out of it. You know, whatever that it has been, it will pass. And you'll continue walking on with Jesus. Amen. But Satan has his traps and he has his ways of getting to people, and he's done it over and over. And it's time for you, saints, to find the roots. And a lot of people don't get to the roots. They may go through their whole lives and never get to the roots. If we got to talk about the roots here just a little bit. But you know, there's just no getting out of warfare and the battle in life until Jesus comes or we go home. Excuse me. But the good news is we can overcome the enemy and all his might through Christ Jesus and the grace that's given to us. Now, that's the good news, folks. I believe that. And right now, you may have things playing against your life and plaguing your life and your home and your marriage. And it may be a serious need for you to get serious about deliverance and your relationship with Jesus. Okay? I mean, you can get to the bottom of it. And yet there are often many surface demons to get by and get out first before you get to the bottom of the root of the problem, the real issues of your life that, you know, they keep repeating themselves and you don't understand why they keep repeating themselves. Why is this going on over and over and over again? To the root demons or the root demon. See, so many spend all their lives, all their time on surface level, dealing with surface level demons or seemingly visible demons. They never seem to get to the root devils in their lives, the devils that really have the greatest control in their life. It's like spending all your time chasing and getting rid of the rabbits when you need to get to the tiger or the mountain lion within. You hear what I'm saying? The strongholds, the deeply embedded root devils, that they are very, very good at hiding, and really you'll never see them without the Lord giving you discernment of spirits and without the Lord giving you revelation and understanding and truth. You really never see them. I mean, look at the ones that are below the iceberg. I mean, know that you only see part of the iceberg, a little bit of the iceberg. Okay? But what's below the water, you don't see. Unless you have a submarine, huh? A spiritual submarine, and God take you down there. Right? But see, much of the mass of an iceberg is unseen and unknown, and it's the same with us. There is so much in our lives that still that you don't understand and you don't see. So many different demonic holds and hindrances that we don't see. And, you know, sometimes even other people may see it and identify it, but they're afraid to tell you, and you can't see it, and you don't seem to be able to see it. See? You know what deliverance really is? Often an ongoing uncovering, really. An ongoing uncovering of things in a person's life. And that's why so many people that come and get some deliverance, they just don't really get to the level that they need to get to. And they still have problems and things come back in their lives and they still go on with this same repeating, the same old things that they had done because they never got to the roots. They never got to the bottom of things and never identified the real roots, see? And so it really, deliverance is, it can't just be one session and you think that you're totally delivered. That is not going to be the case. Okay, it's ongoing. It's an ongoing uncovering of different levels of demons. And the ones that are really the powerful, powerful ones in your life, they're very good at hiding. They're very good at it. They're very good at camouflaging themselves, right? Camouflaging themselves where you don't see them. Yeah, you just keep on overturning those rocks, though, till you get to the big ones, folks. Come on. Keep overturning those rocks. Keep going deeper. Keep getting rid of these things. Okay? Keep doing that so that you can get to the big ones, the ones that will do whatever they need to maintain their control in your life, to maintain their position that they don't want uncovered. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want to because then it might be dealt with. And they really need to be dealt with. But see, they're not getting dealt with because people don't go that deep. They just don't. I'm telling you. I know I've been doing deliverance for a long time, and I see that with a lot of people. They were, excuse me, they want to deal with the surface stuff, the thing that's just bugging them, they think is really bugging them and really the problem at the time, but they don't want to really deal with the stuff deeper. They don't really want to deal with it. They don't want anything to really change in those areas. They've gotten comfortable with their controlling demons, with the strong man demons, the ones that are hidden very well and very much in control still of their life, even as a Christian. Yeah, and so you often see Christians and you say, why in the world are they doing that and acting like that? Well, because they're holding on to that strong man level of demon down there hidden under way under the iceberg. And you say, well, I thought they had it together more than that. I thought they were more spiritual than that. And here I see this going on in their life. How could it be? Excuse me. Well, how can it be? I just told you. The things that are really there, down beneath, that do not want to yield. And it's going to take some real determination to get them to be yielded and gone. You have to get through the outer layers. You have to get through these defender demons that are just there that are more well-known and more visible. To get to the root, and one of the big roots, of course, is rejection. Some people live their whole life out of rejection. Another big root is fear. Some people are totally controlled by fear, yet they know not that they are controlled by fear, but it's the root down there hidden away, and it's manipulating their life. Yeah, fear in so many forms, rooted in fear, but it comes up through all these other little fears or anxieties or stresses or, yeah, you get the picture. You know what I'm talking about, see? So the believers, their relationship with Jesus, with the Father, is lacking because of the control here of these deep-rooted spirits. And there are other deep-level spirits I could call out to. So I'm just giving you several examples. So they remain in some level of blindness. How many know that Christians are blind? How many know that? They don't see the whole picture. Christians are blind unless they truly, truly, as we talked about, love the Word of God, get into the truth, and let the teacher teach them. the Holy Spirit, and seek truth with all of their heart, and make the time with the Lord, and all of those different things I called out that are so important to a relationship. Mm-hmm. They're blind. They're sadly blinded by these root spirits. Yeah, because only in embracing truth can the lies and the hidden things be revealed. And that comes from a glorious relationship with the truth. And a lot of people are not real comfortable with the truth. See? It makes them uncomfortable. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Many Christians may have been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, more, but they can get very uncomfortable with real truth. Facing real truth and having real truth revealed to them about what's really in them and what's really going on in them, it's uncomfortable. We don't like it. And some people have called, got your number and read your story to you, and you got very uncomfortable if you are one of those who are blessed to know the truth about yourself. And maybe you rejected that when you were told that truth. Sometimes your husband or wife can be the one that God will use to tell you the truth that you don't want to receive about you. Sometimes it can be a close friend. And thank God for people who will tell us the truth, that can see things. And I'm not talking about those that are spiritual base cadets either. I'm talking about those who have a walk with Jesus. Those whom you know that they, when they speak, they're speaking from heaven. See? Not everybody's like that. Not everybody's like that. Not everybody has that kind of a relationship. Okay? But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we need to develop our relationship with the truth right now. Now is the time, not waiting. Now is the time. Okay? The Spirit of God is speaking to you today. I suggest you listen well. Huh? I mean, listen. God wants you to feel the power and the pull of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to feel it right now. He wants you to be aware that God wants to deal with you. He wants to change you. He wants to bring you in. To bring you out, to bring you in, basically bring you out of the bondage, to bring you in more to him. Okay, so what are you going to do with all that? You going to do anything with it? Or are you just going to, this just another message to you? Or what are you going to do with all these things? Just keep on going on the way you've been going on? Or is this year just going to be another repeat of last year in your life? Or worse than last year because you're not willing for anything to really change? This is what David said, Psalms 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those who have been long dead. See, this is what the enemy would have for you. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. See, this is where the enemy wants to take you and keep you in a dark place. This is what he's trying to do to many Christians today. That's right. He's trying to get you and keep you in a dark place. But see, God has a light place for you. But if you won't go into the place the Lord has prepared, hey, in my Father's house are many mansions. But you got to go to the mansion. You've got to go to the Father's place of preparation for you. And if you make a decision that you're not going to go, if you're going to stay in the dark place of the enemy, and many Christians are stuck in that dark place, they've smitten their life down to the ground. He made you to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Your spirit is overwhelmed. You feel desolate. Feel like God is far away. This is where the enemy wants you. This is where he'll try to keep you if you let him. And this is the current condition of many Christians today. I hate to say it, but it is the current condition because they don't see that the God they serve has any power. And I'm here to tell you that God, our God that we serve, has great power, and he has the power to bring you out of that darkness. If you will let him bring you out of the darkness, he has deliverance for you. Deliverance is the children, but he has freedom for you. He has glorious liberty of the sons of God for you. I'm talking the reality of the Word of God, folks. I'm talking the reality of a relationship. Listen, if you don't feel that you have a relationship with him, you need to spend this year working on a relationship with him and developing that relationship. Too many faint in adversity. When the enemy dumps it on you, you faint. You feel like quitting, and you do quit. And some have quit. I heard a story this week of someone who just quit. Just quit. Got rough. Something didn't go right for them, and they just quit, went back to the ways of the world. They didn't stay there, but they went back to it for a little while. Hey, if every time something doesn't go right in your life, you're going to run back to the ways of the world, what kind of a walk with Jesus is that? Kind of weak, wouldn't you say? God wants you to be stronger than that. He wants to build you into a mighty warrior. Look at verse 4. It says, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me desolate. Feels like empty. Feel like a desert. And you ask the question, well, where are you at, God? A dry time for many, many. Listen, you don't have to stay in any dry time. Listen, God has the oasis for you. He has the place of flowing water. He has a river you can jump in. And you can swim in, and you can just get covered with. But you've got to be willing to get out in that river of God, see? You got to take a step. It's got to be more than just a desire to be different and a desire to change, a desire to get better. Faith without action is dead. You won't step out into a river. You're going to stay desolate. You're going to stay in that place feeling empty, feeling in the desert place. Yeah, what does it say in verse 5? It says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy work. I muse on the works of thy hand. It's time to remember what God has done for you in the past. Remember the days when God did mighty things in your life. Listen, the day you became a born-again Christian, the day that Jesus showed up in your life. Remember the things that he's done, the miracle-working powers that come to pass in your life. Saints of God, think. And put yourself in remembrance. This is what David did. In his relationship, he remembered the days of old. He meditated on all the things that God has done. Think about how he's protected you. Think about how he's healed your body. At least I could say these things about me. I know that he's done these things in my life. Miracles that have taken place. Healings that have taken place. Supernatural manifestations in deliverance that have taken place. I have seen so much that I just put myself in remembrance of the days of old and all his works. I muse on the works of his hand. I think on it. I meditate on the muse of the works of his hand. Hallelujah. And then what is the result of that? What is the result of that? When you're thinking and you remember what God has done in the past, then you look at the next verse. He says, because I stretched forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. So you start getting fired up. You start wanting more of him. You lift up your holy hands unto the Lord. You begin to cry out for more. You begin to say, yes, Lord, you did it in the past. You're going to do it again for me. Hallelujah. You work miracles in my past. You're going to work them in my present too. Oh, you haven't changed. You said, I am the Lord. I change not. You are the Lord, my God. You change not. So you're starting to get stirred up now. You're starting to get stirred up now. You're starting to say, hey, I'm going to make it out of this. I'm not going to stay here. See, you're truly seeking God. See, it's time you get more serious about Jesus and your relationship with him. How many of you are truly seeking the Lord? I mean, really seeking him today. Okay? Maybe you're just not thirsty enough yet. Maybe you just aren't thirsty enough, so therefore you're not seeking the living water. You're not seeking it enough to where you'll be satisfied and you'll be fulfilled and you're frustrated still. Oh, yeah. Some of you may have flipped. It's time to return to Christ, right? Revelation 2:4, hold your finger here if you're looking these up. It says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how that thou cannot, I'm sorry, verse 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. I want to go back to that scripture. See, don't leave your first love. Don't ever leave your first love. I don't care what happened. Don't leave your first love. I don't care how bad it is, what kind of attacks you're under. Don't leave your first love. Stay close and stay full. Keep getting in his presence. Keep getting filled up to overflowing. Fill me up, Lord, right? Fill me up to overflowing. Return to him. Back here to Psalms, verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. See, we're going to have the revelation knowledge of this kind of love. Oh, I tell you, you've heard God loves you, but many of you don't believe it. You know, when I tell the Lord, so many times I've told the Lord, I love you. And you know what? He'll tell me back, John, I love you. I love you, John. It's just amazing. Try that sometime. Just get in his presence. Tell him you love him and you'll hear him tell you back that he loves you. See? He's done it for me so many times. I can't count all the times that he told me he loved me. When I tell him I love him, he tells me he loves me. And see, even sometimes when I don't tell him I love him, he tells me he loves me. And I need that. And you need that. See? But you got to believe it. See? You know, it's amazing to me how many Christians have been under good word teaching, good pastors, which there are good pastors still in this country, godly men of God out there sharing the word with people and loving the people. There are godly pastors still in this country. Okay, they're not all, compromised, I guess is a word we could use. And you sit under that week after week, month after month, and yet you don't know the truth yet. You've heard the truth over and over and over, but you haven't embraced the truth, see? And you don't act upon the word. You just hear it week after week after week, month after month after month, year after year after year. You know, that's why I've said so many times about pastoring. It's a maintenance ministry. You're just maintaining the flock because, you know, they're not moving. They don't want to move. It goes one ear out the other, but it's maintenance. And, we'll see you next week at church, Pastor. And that's good. And you shouldn't forsake the assembly, but the point is, what are you doing with your assembly? What are you doing with the word when you hear it under these godly men and women of God to share the word? Excuse me. What are you doing? Are you bored with it? I know Christians have gotten bored. Oh, yeah, another miracle. Yeah. Oh, really? You've seen so many. Well, look at Judas. That must have did something. Look at him. I mean, yeah, he saw the miracles for 3.5 years, and he still was stealing from Jesus's from the money bag, and he was a thief the whole time. Maybe not in the very beginning. I don't know, but he was. The Bible says he was robbing, and taking money out of the money bag. He was a thief. And yet he saw all these signs and wonders. I mean, look at this. There's people sitting in church week after week, and they go stealing things, and then they go lying about things, and they go committing adultery and fornicating and looking at porn and all this stuff. See? You've been walking with the Lord how long, and you're doing all that? Really? You're giving place to your besetting sins and your demons? What's wrong with this picture? You sit under the word every week? And yet, you're still just slipping? Is there something wrong with your relationship with Jesus? Is something lacking there? Maybe you don't have a revelation knowledge of that love, like I said. You've never heard him tell you he loves you. Maybe you couldn't do that to him over and over again. You know, if you knew he really loved you. But see, you, if you don't know he really loves you, you probably don't even love yourself. Because until you know he loves you, you probably can't love yourself properly. See, you can really trust when you know you're loved. If you don't know your love, it's hard for you to trust. And see, a lot of people have been kept by the enemy from knowing that they're loved. They've been kept in darkness by from knowing that they're loved by the enemy because of his deep root spirit that keep you and block you. He'll camp around your spirit and block the love of God from really flowing up out of your spirit into your soul, right? And I gotta bring this in for landing here, but quit running to carnal things of the world. Look at this one. Let's read another verse here, verse 9. We got to close this up. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Listen, how long has it been since you really fleed to the Lord? How long has it been since you got in that secret place of the Most High God and made that your dwelling place? It's a place you ought not be leaving, okay? It's a place that's going to take care of you when the going gets rough. You've got to be in the secret place. I mean, no, the secret place is the secret place of the Most High God, and it's a place of his presence. So quit running to the carnal things of the world. Run to Jesus. Look at verse 10. Let's try to finish this chapter. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, my spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. See, God wants to lead you into the land of uprightness. He wants you to live in that life. He doesn't want it to be something that, oh, yeah, sounds good. I heard it at church, you know. No, it's what he wants you to lead you into the land of uprightness, where you live in the land of uprightness. Huh? How do you do that? By his power? By his anointing? And only through his power and anointing can you really do his will, right? Only by his power and his fresh anointing can you do his will. Can you do it? And so what do we cry out? We say, quicken me, verse 11, revive me, quicken me, O Lord, for my name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Well, that's about deliverance, that verse right there. Who's afflicting your soul, really? Demons. That's right. They're afflicting your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion, not your spirit. They're not in your spirit. They're in your soul. And of thy mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. See, that's nothing but a scripture. I mean, it's more than that, but it's a scripture about deliverance. And the enemy has brought, you know, he's brought your soul into condemnation. He bought and put that stuff on you. And you bought the package. Why are you buying the package? Yeah? Coming from, you know, the devil's FedEx department, right? But by God's power, you can have liberty because you're clothed. You think that you're clothed with rag, but you're not clothed with rag. You're clothed with his righteousness. So you need to declare your righteousness every day. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Would you declare that about yourself today? Would you do that? And would you keep doing it? Day after day, month after month, week after week, year after year. That's right. That's right. And put away the other gods. We could talk about that for the next hour, but I'm not going to get into that. Put away the other gods. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? You don't have anything before Jesus. Quit putting those things. No wonder you're miserable. You put something before Jesus, nothing can ever take his place. Nothing should ever be put before Jesus. Amen. So quit running to the carnal things, these idols. Christians obviously have idols because they're obviously not making Jesus number one in their lives. And whether they'll ever admit that they have an idol or not, well, They probably won't until they come to a place of confessing it, saying, God, I missed it here. I had an idol and I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to confess that. I didn't want to bring that up to the surface. So, hey, return to your first love today. You know, come back to Jesus with all your heart. Come back to him. He's calling. He's speaking, but is anybody listening today? Is anybody listening? Do they hear the voice of the Lord? He draws you in. He cries to you, come on in. Come on into my presence. Come on into my glory. Come on in and dwell in me and with me. And let me dwell in you and with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word today. Thanks for the blessing of it, the truth of it. Thank you that people can embrace it and receive. And Lord, we do. We don't want any idols in our life. We just turn from those idols immediately and reject them. If we see it by the power of the Spirit, we reject it in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that we're able to reject those things by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that we're not walking by our own power, but we're walking by the power of the Spirit of God in us. Oh, what a power that is. I tell you, there's nothing like it. Nothing like the Holy Spirit. No power like that power, Lord. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit today. We thank you for your sweet presence in us. If we would just take a little time and begin to focus on you and begin to look at what dwells in our spirit and who dwells in our spirit, we would just be sitting in a condition of amazement and awe. Oh, how great thou art. Oh, God, how great is that presence. How great is that glory? How great are you, O God, and that you have chosen to live inside of me. What a glorious thing that is, O God. So bring us in closer, Lord. Let that desire be more than just a desire this year. Let it be something that we act upon and see come to pass and not just have it as a desire in the back of our mind year after year. And never acting upon it, never seeing the result of that desire. Let it become a reality, Lord, in our lives. Let's cross that chasm. Let's cross that ocean where the desire becomes a reality instead of just a desire. Because you can go to your grave with that desire and never come to fruition. But if with that step of stepping out and in faith and acting, that desire can become a reality that you live in. Thank you, Jesus, for that reality becoming what we live in. Hallelujah. That desire, so much more than just a desire. Our daily life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you the glory. Father, we pray now for this time of deliverance here in a few moments as we go into the deliverance session. Hey, bless that, Lord, and things will come out of people and they'll be delivered. And, Lord, that we continue to get toward that root so we can continue to uncover the rocks and the little surface demons as we continue to press deeper and deeper until we get to those really destructive things in there. And they're all destructive, but, Lord, you know, I think everybody knows what I'm talking about, Lord, that those root spirits, yeah, where the rubber meets the road, really, yeah, thank you, Father. We praise you for it in the name of Jesus and give you the glory and the praise and the honor, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Amen.
Grey skies are gone.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to go after some devils tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many times we've done it. And you know, I tell you, I wouldn't be the person I am today without deliverance. I thank God for deliverance. I thank God that I can just, you know, if I get out there in the world and I see something try to get on me, I get rid of it right away. You know, I can, you know, it's just been a blessing, and in so many ways, I truly see it as the children's bread, and we need deliverance, folks. We need to get rid of stuff that's in our lives, and I don't see how that we can really grow and change as a Christian without it. That's how important I think it is. I mean, Jesus, he was out there doing deliverance all the time. As they say, you know, at least a third of Jesus' ministry was going around casting out devils. Of course it was. Just look at the Bible. Amen? So let's go ahead and get rid of some spirits tonight. I have several requests for some demons to get out for some people. So we're going to deal with those tonight as first and foremost here, and then we'll go into other spirits as well. And thank you all for listening tonight. I appreciate each of you being here and those in the chat room as well as those that I can see listening by phone tonight, a number of people there listening by telephone. But you know you can do that, right? You just call in and 657-383-0134, 657, that's 383-0134, and you can listen by your cell phone. And we have a lot of people who do that. And so feel free to do that anytime and be blessed that way. If you're driving in your car, you could just plug it into your radio and listen through the speakers, you know. And be blessed that way and get deliverance while you're riding down the road, right? Amen. Well, get delivered anytime you can, right? Amen. All right. So in the name of Jesus, we come against these wicked spirits tonight. We serve you. Notice that you are defeated on the cross 2,000 years ago. And when we command you to go out, if the person wants you out, you have to go. In Jesus' name. If they don't really want you out, you don't have to go. We know that to be true. Because you're legalist and you have a legal right, you will continue to stay. But in Jesus' name, we break your control over people, for people who want to get rid of their demon. And we can break the curses and control of these controlling spirits, and we command these spirits to start moving right now. We cover every listener and ourselves with the blood of Jesus as well. In Jesus' name, that spirit of tiredness, you come out right now. You're tired all the time. Spirit of tiredness, come out in Jesus' name right now. We're talking to you, demon. We're talking to you. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Come up out of there in Jesus' name. Up out of there in the name of Jesus. All that spirit of tiredness, feeling tired all the time and you're not sick. Why are you tired like that? It's a demon. Demon of tiredness trying to tire you out, trying to wear you out, trying to keep you without no energy to accomplish anything. All that tiredness, go in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of tiredness. We break the curse of tiredness. You come out. All that tiredness right now, being tired. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. All the way out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, tiredness, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come out of there, come out of there, come out, come out. Take a few coughs, get it moving. Take a couple of deep coughs, breathe deeply, blow it out. The spirits are in the air, pneuma, come out. They come out in the air, they come out in the breath, come out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus right now, keep coming out. The lust of the eyes, you come out. The lust of the eyes, I bind that spirit of the lust of the eyes, come out. That spirit of the lust of the eyes, we break the power of that lust of the eyes. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. The lust of the eyes, come out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, lust of the eyes. You got to go. You got to go all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. That lust of the eyes, come out. Lust of the eyes. Yeah, there's plenty for that to work with out there, okay? But the lust of the eyes, you come out, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind you. I break your control. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus right now. Angels, sword those demons. Sword them right now. Come out of there. All the way out. The lust of the eyes. Come out now. All the way out. Come out. Come out. come out, come up out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go all the way out, all the way out. The lust of the eyes, come on, all that lust, go. All that lust, come on, those lustful spirits right now, those lustful spirits. They got you thinking you're going to find fulfillment in the opposite sex or the same sex. Those lust spirits, come out. All lust spirits, we're talking to you, come out. Come out, lust. Come on, all those lust spirits, they're lusting after man or woman, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. All that lust, all the way out. All that pornography, come out, come out. We break the curse of pornography, come out, come out. Lusting after these pictures, really? Come out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. All that bondage to pornography, come out. Come out. Come out, all the way out. Go, in the name of Jesus, all the way out. The spirit of being cheated, you come out. The spirit of being cheated and the devil steals from you. That's why we pray. We get back all that the devil has stolen from us, right? And I've seen the Lord get back what the devil has stolen, many things that he has. I still have a lot more things to get, but I've seen it happen for me. I got blessed with a lot of things where the devil had stolen, okay? So we just break the curse of being robbed and stolen from and being, you know, just that maybe they come and steal something, you know, from you financially. Yeah, somebody cheated you out of some money at the store, or you kept always getting shortchanged here or getting charged this or charged that fee or whatever. So that thievery spirit is robbing you right now. Come out right now. Come out. Come out. That thieving spirit right now. That robbing and thieving spirit. Listen, we are blessed with the favor of God, folks. And we need to declare that over. You're not going to steal from me. You're not going to rob from me. You're not going to take from me, devil. And we just rebuke you, devil, for doing that. Now come out of there, you thieving devil. Come out. You are exposed in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, you thieving, robbing devil, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All that robbery, stealing from us. In Jesus' name, whatever form that the enemy's been stealing from you. Maybe they've been stealing people out of your congregation. Maybe they've been stealing finances out of your life where you don't, you're losing money. Come out of there. All that thieving spirit, the robbing spirit, come out of there. Come out of there. If the thief be found, right? Come out of there. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that thievery, you got to go in the name of Jesus. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. All the way out. We rebuke the spirits of pain in your body right now. In Jesus' name, go, all that pain. We rebuke pain. Come out, pain. Come out, pain in the back, pain in the body. Come out. I bind you, spirit of pain. We're talking to you. Come out of there right now. Mental pain, emotional trauma. That kind of pain, too, can go, too, as well. But we were talking to first physical pain. You come out of there right now. Physical pain in the body, pain in the back, pain in the neck. Come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. All the way out of there. There's more true to these things than a lot of people realize. When people have a pain in the neck, it could be because of somebody. It could be because that somebody is a pain in the neck to them, and they're having a pain manifest in the neck because somebody's troubling them. Okay? So you need to remember to break curses and send them back where they come from, and realize that you say, well, I don't want to send them back to any Christians because, oh, I don't want to hurt anybody, you know, and I understand that. I mean, that's a good question, and it's a good logical thinking and all, but you know what? If you don't send the curses back, the people, even though they be Christians, may not learn ever not to be cursing people. See, because when you send the curses back, the people who send the curses can be dealt with. Right? And it's not that you're causing them all this torment and problem. It's putting them in a position where they can be dealt with when the curse is returned to the sender, and they might learn, not to curse. He that loveth cursing, let him be cursed. Why are you letting them be cursed? Because they are cursing people, and the curse is returning, and they're being dealt with about their cursing. See, that's important to understand that. you know, because don't worry about hurting other Christians, because I realize a lot of people who do curse us are Christians. They may be well-meaning in what they say in their little minds, right? In their minds, they might think, that I'm justified in saying this. I'm justified in cursing that pastor or so-and-so or that brother or that sister of the Lord. I'm justified in saying this about them because they're mad at you or they don't like you or the demons have justified it in their minds, you know. But realize that, hey, I'm sending that curse back on you. I'm not going to receive that curse in Jesus' name. And I'm not sending it back to harm you personally. But realize where the curse came from. It came from the demons that were planting it in their mind. And that they gave place to devil and gave place to sin and cursed you. You got to understand where it's coming from. You're sending it back to the devil and the demons in the person that has been cursing you. Amen. And the person, the demons don't like that when it happens because it bothers them, it torments them, and they can be revealed when that happens. Okay, so that's just a little instruction on that. Keep coming out. We break any curses, hexes, vexes, spells, and jinxes, and curses, and anything that people have said about us in their homes or in their private quarters or rooms after church as they had fried pastor for lunch or whatever. We break those word curses in Jesus' name and send them back where they come from in the name of Jesus right now and cancel their assignment in the name of Jesus as well right now. We cancel the assignment of those words in the name of Jesus and we cancel their effect upon those of us who have been cursed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, and we command the spirits that came in through the curse to come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come out, 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 come out. Spirits that came in through word curses, come out now in the name of Jesus right now. Come out, 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 come out. Like the Bible says, the curse causeless doesn't come. There's a cause. Come out of there all the way out. Go, go. Keep coming out all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Go all the way out. We command the bastard curse to go. If with 51% of the people in our country being born out of wedlock right now, we break the bastard curse right now. Because how many people have been born out of wedlock? We break that bastard curse right now in the name of Jesus. If you've been born out of wedlock, we break that bastard curse over you. Come out right now. Come out. The spirits of the bastard child, come out, 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 come out. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, come out. All the way out, we apply the blood of Jesus against these demons. Come out. Come out, come out, torment them. Come out all the way out and come out. All the way, go, 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 all the way up out of there. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, the bastard curse, we cancel it. Come out and come out of there right now in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. All the way out. All the way out. Go, go. Spirit, you have to go. Spirit of shame, you come out. Spirit of shame. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there, all the way out. All the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You come out of shame and come out mind control, controlling your mind demons. Come out all the way out of mind control. We break the control of mind control over your mind. These spirits that have been controlling your mind, manipulating your mind, making the mind do what it wants it to do, you come out of there right now. Come on, all that mind control spirit, come out. We're talking to you, demon. Come out. Come out right now. Mind control. You have to go. All that mind control over the mind. Come on. Come out. Come out. So many people under this mind control, so they're manipulated in their mind, and their mind is directed by spirits. Come out of there right now. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Mind control. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go all the way out. All the way out. Keep moving in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All that mind control, you got to loose them and let them go. Keep going, keep moving, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus got to go right now, right now, all the way out. In Jesus' name, keep coming out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, all the way out, keep going. In Jesus' name, come out, not now. Blood of Jesus, got it all the way out. Come on, I'm talking to you, demon. You have to go all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Keep coming out. Keep coming all the way out. In Jesus' name. You have to come out. Spirits of anxiety, you come out. Come on. Spirits of unforgiveness. I'm going to have to deal with this. Unforgiveness. You think you don't have any unforgiveness, but the fact of the matter is you don't see it. See, because you're blind to it. A lot of people don't see it. Somebody was telling me about a wreck they had, and there was no way in the natural that they could have this wreck. And somebody this week was telling me about a wreck where this person just ran into them, and they couldn't even see them. And this person that was ran into said they didn't even see the car either. So, you know, there are situations where demons have been able to blind people's eyes when people have wrecks. And then, of course, we saw the picture, where they took a picture of a place right after the wreck, and there were demons in the area there that probably had caused that wreck, see? And so it is possible to be in unforgiveness and not know it. You know, so I want you to know that you may have an unforgiving spirit and don't know that you're unforgiving. Okay, so we want to deal with that tonight too. So your spirit of unforgiveness, be uncovered now in the name of Jesus and come out of there. You be uncovered and come out. In Jesus' name, we break your hold over people right now. In the name of Jesus, that unforgiving spirit, you come out of there in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Go. Keep going, keep moving right now. Come on, all the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, all the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Keep going. All the way out of there. Come on. All that unforgiveness. You may not know that you have unforgiveness towards somebody. And yet when you have a feeling toward them, there's something that goes on in your mind, a little something going on there. And you don't quite understand it, but it's not, you don't think it's unforgiveness, but it is. So you got to let go of that and say, I choose to forgive this person or persons or whatever it is, this workplace or, yeah, in Jesus' name, and let go of that. Get it out of there because it's going to be a hindrance. And you don't need any hindering spirits. I mean, know that. You don't need hindering spirits in your life. And any kind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Panic attacks. You come out. Spirit of panic attack. Come out. Right now, that panic attack spirit, I bind you. You come out of there all the way out. Having panic attacks. Yeah, I know Christians, a number of them over the years who have panic attacks. So don't think Christians can't have panic attacks. So come out of there all the way out. Yeah, if you got those demons, you're going to have panic attacks, okay? That's simple. Come out all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name, keep coming out. Keep coming out all the way up out of there. In Jesus' name, we break your hold. All those panic spirits, come out. All the way out, Jesus' name. Nervous tension, you come out. Come on, all the way out. You come up out of there. Nervous tension, panic, come out, come out. Worry, come out. Got to cast your cares on the Lord, man. I'm telling you. You carry that thing around with you. You worry about it. You worry, you worry, you wear yourself out worrying. Don't do that. Stay up all night worrying about something. Hey, God, it can work it out. You just need to put it in his hands. That's why he said, cast all your cares on me. You quit carrying those cares. You are not designed to carry those cares. God didn't design you for that. That's why he told you to put them all on him. Cast them all on me, for I care for you. You got to realize the level of care that the Father has for you. Listen, it's such a beyond the human level. It's beyond what we can really, without revelation knowledge, without understanding of the Spirit, we cannot understand the level of care that the Father has for you and I, the level of love that he has for us. You just need to start receiving it and believing it and acting like it's so in your life, okay? Acting like you have the favor of God on you, because you do. When God brought you into his family, he said you're a joint heir with Jesus. Everything Jesus has is yours. That's favor, man. I'm telling you, that's favor, favor, favor of the highest kind. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this deliverance tonight. I ask you to seal it to those who have received it tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the time we've had together sharing tonight in this live broadcast tonight. And we give you the glory for it and thank you for all that you've done from it and will do in the future from it for those who listen later to the broadcast later. We give you glory for them as well and ask you to minister to them in the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus, tonight. Amen. He's a good God. The newsletters are done. It's just a matter of when I get them out to you. And I hope to get them out this week. We'll see what time I get them out. But we will do our best to get them out for the next January and the February newsletter that is hot off the press. Hallelujah. And we appreciate you listening. And thank you for being there in the chat room, Brother Dustin, Brother Gary. Thank you, Lord, for your giving and the blessing and all that you've done, and you're just a blessing, brother, and also for Timberwolf, I appreciate you, brother, and Lord bless you and be with you and encourage you and heal you and bring everything to pass in your life that you felt couldn't be brought to pass but can be by the Spirit of God. Amen. All right, so we love you all. We love all you listening by other means, and those who are listening by phone, thank you for listening as well. Praise God. We'll see you next Friday.
Call upon
Amen. As long as I live, praise the Lord. He is good. Could you be a partaker of his mercy this week? Yeah. Have you done that lately, partaking of his mercy? God wants to pour out his mercy on you. Would you be a receiver? Say, I'm a receiver of mercy. Let him do that. And pour out his mercy. I like the mercies of the Lord. What does the Bible say about the mercies of the Lord? The mercies of, doesn't it say the mercies of the Lord are new? Did it say that? I forgot. I'm going to have to find that scripture. I know where it is. I'm pretty sure, but I'm going to have to look that up. Doesn't it say the mercies of the Lord are new every morning? Or is it, I'm going to find out. I'm looking over here where I believe it is, and we'll find out exactly what it says. But I do love the mercy of the Lord, and I thank God for the mercies. Oh, it would be awful if we didn't have the mercies of the Lord, wouldn't it? I think so. But because it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. That's right. So is it the mercies or the compassions that are new every morning? Or both? Hallelujah. Well, thank God. We'll just receive that mercy and that compassion, your compassion, Lord, your mercy. Thank you for that. Praise God. Well, enjoy his compassion, too. His compassions fail not, it says. Yeah, a lot of other things may fail in this world, but the Lord's compassions will not fail either. So enjoy them as well and be blessed in the Lord's compassion. Hallelujah. All right, well, good night, folks. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for me. I pray for you. Every day I pray for the listeners, this broadcast. So bless you guys. Love you. Bye.